Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
A tale as old as time, a song as old as rhyme, Houston versus LA. Let's get it. It is playoff time. It's wild card weekend, and we're going to talk about all that and more on this edition of The Bullpen. Welcome to The Bullpen. As always, I am James Roy, and with me is Tom Chavarria. Tom, it's wild card weekend, and if there's anything that's, you know, death taxes in the Texans at 3:30 on a Saturday, I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it? How are you doing?
I have to be ready for it because it's the first stinking game of the playoffs every year. We get no primetime love. We get no top billing. We get the let's get them out of the way so we can get to the good games. But I'm excited for my Texans. I really feel good about where they are. It's going to be a very difficult game. I will take nothing away from this Chargers team. I've been watching them a little bit over the last couple of weeks. They are definitely legit, coached by a legit head coach with a good young quarterback. I really think that they're getting hot at the right time, and that's a little scary, you know, for a Texans team that, you know, can get hot too, but things got to fall their way. It'll be a really interesting game. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. And so I'm going to start with that. So let's do the timeline of trash talk / people deciding the Texans can't win this game. That's where I want to start because I feel like that's a good place to start. Chargers social media admin, known for being pretty savage, pretty on it, probably on the similar level to the Texans admin. They posted, you know, that meme with the guy and with the controller leaning forward, getting ready to play right before the Raiders game. And they knew that if they won against the Raiders, they would play the Texans. I can't blame them for that. If I was the Chargers and I had to pick between playing the Texans and the Ravens, I'd probably pick the Texans too. So I'm a little less hurt by that. But then they did it. They went out and won. They beat the Raiders. Of course they did. And so now the matchup is set. And now everyone is talking about it, but a specific one I want to address is Rex Ryan, who, by the way, has a losing record as a head coach. You know who has a winning record as a head coach is Bill O'Brien, not Rex Ryan. But anyways, Rex Ryan, who believes he's going to be the next head coach of the Jets, good luck with that, said that the Texans have no chance and that the Chargers basically have a bye week. How do you feel about this mentality? Do you think that it's deserved? Do you think that the way the Texans have played this season has brought this on? Do you think it's excessive? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I definitely believe that this doesn't work a lot of the times when people do these things. When they say, oh, can't win. I famously, they did that to CJ last year, and he said bet, and came out and won.
I bet.
So I don't know what Rex Ryan's motivation was here, why he just took the take that he did, but I appreciate him because give the Texans all the bulletin board material they can get. You're never going to see me complain about it. Sure, say what you want. I love to have my team with the chip on their shoulder upset because somebody said they couldn't, you know, every last one of them to a man when you see them. And I think this is all football players, but I mean, we cover the Texans. So when you see them, the first time they feel slighted or doubted, they come for your neck. So I'm looking forward to this team playing with their hair on fire. And I'm looking forward to D'Amico Ryans using Rex Ryan's noise as fuel for a fire to get them through this game, because that's a really good football team. So any extra motivation, any extra, you know, whatever you can find, use it.
I agree with you. And I specifically hope that Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Tim Settle, Mario Edwards, Foley Fetukasi, if he's going to play. I hope that all those guys, Derek Barnett, I hope that anyone who touches the field for the Texans defensive line sees it, because specifically, you know, Justin Herbert has not done very well against pressure. And so they're bringing up all these statistics about how great the Chargers are on the road, but have the Chargers faced a pass rush like what the Texans have on the road? I imagine with the Chiefs, they've gotten something at least somewhat difficult. This writing off of the Texans to me seems interesting, just given the fact that this Texans team is a really good defense. And honestly, that's what I want to talk about next, is that the Chargers and the Texans are very comparable teams. They're very similar defensive-minded head coaches, offenses that have performed at high levels at points, but maybe aren't firing on all cylinders at all times. I think the Chargers offense is hotter at the end of the season than the Texans offense is, but the comparison still holds merit that they really lean on their defenses to hold games down, and they both like to establish a run game. So I'm wondering, in your mind, if both teams are that similar, what is going to be the defining factor, do you think, in terms of what the Texans need to do to win?
Well, see, you talked about you're hoping that the defense saw what Rex Ryan said. I am hoping the offense saw what Rex Ryan said, because he took shots at the offense. So I need CJ to go see that they can't score. I need CJ to see that Rex Ryan said that the Texans can't put enough points on the board to beat this team. That's the side of the ball that I think should be more offended by what Rex Ryan's saying. I don't think Rex Ryan was attacking the Texans defense. He was just saying that the Texans offense couldn't score enough points. So for me, I love that he gave them added fuel and motivation to go out there and put points on the board against a really good defense. I won't take anything away from is it Joey Bosa? No, it's Nick Bosa.
It's Joey. Joey's the one that's in San Diego. Nick is okay. In San Francisco.
Okay, so
Corey, we know we've established over this week that you're not doing great with the names.
Not at all. Bad with names. Faces, 100%. Names, terrible. So Joey Bosa, Derwin James, those guys are elite. No, won't take anything away from them. But when the Texans are right, they've scored against good defenses. They've scored against good teams. So I don't doubt that they can go and put points on the board. And I hope that they're the guys that come out extra motivated. And that's the difference, right? We talked about, you know, the Chargers having a good offense when it's right, and they've been better as of late. But I mean, they didn't light Las Vegas on fire when they really needed to win. They salted the game away late if you watch that game, but it was still in question third quarter. And I think if you're going to allow a Texan team at home to hang around, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. So I have confidence that, one, the defense will keep them in the game, and two, the offense can put up enough points to beat the Chargers.
I agree with you, and I think the offense is going to be the key. I think that obviously the defense needs to do what it does, but at the end of the day, even if it becomes a shootout, like, the offense needs to step up. What I'm hopeful happens is the pressure does cause Herbert to crumble in some way. I do really like Herbert as a quarterback, so like, I am interested to see how he performs against the Texans, because I haven't gotten a chance to watch him as much recently as I would like, and I'm interested to see how he performs against this Texans defense. But at the end of the day, I think what it is CJ's got to look in the mirror and be like, hey, 2023 it was not a fluke. I am that guy. There's this discussion going around of like, oh, did Lovie Smith really actually screw the Texans out of the number one overall pick? Maybe they should have had Bryce Young. And to that I say, I haven't seen enough from Bryce Young to believe that that's the case. Everyone's like, well, what have we seen from CJ Stroud? I'm like, I don't know. Did you watch the whole 2023 season? Did you watch the 2023 playoffs? Like, we have a lot of tape on CJ being great. We have like a couple games this season after Bryce Young was benched where he's looked good and people are like, oh, there's hope, it's restored. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to downplay what Bryce Young has been. And I do, I'm happy for Bryce Young. I'm happy that he came back from being benched and figured it out. But with that in mind, I need CJ to look in the mirror. I need him to look around and be like, hey, I'm CJ Stroud. I'm Coleridge Bernard Stroud. And I am here to play football and I'm here to win. And then I'm here to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the post-game interview. That's what I came here to do. And I already, you know, and I've already thanked my Lord and Savior. So I'm now it's time to win. Like, that's what I need from CJ Stroud. And I think that once you get that, we're talking about, well, what about the receiving corps injured? It's like Nico Collins is out there. If Nico Collins wasn't out there, it'd be a different story. Nico Collins is out there. You know, Deontay Johnson showed something with Davis Mills. I think that he could show something with CJ Stroud. So there's a lot of talent in this offense. A lot of people are like, well, we need to draft a wide receiver in the first round. We need to draft a tight end. I'm like, okay, cool. But like this offense, even as injured as it is still comparable talent-wise to the 2023 offense. I think that it can function. It needs to find it. I talked about it at the end of last week's episode. This team needs to get hot at the right time, and this is the right time. Get hot. Pull a 2007 New York Giants or just name a team that just – wasn't there in the regular season, picked it up in the playoffs. That's what matters. That's what matters right now. All of the conference champions in the college football playoff all got eliminated, did not win a single game, 0-5. It doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. It doesn't matter what you accomplish. It's the playoffs. That's what we're here to do. That's what I need to see. So offense needs to figure that out. And I think that we'll see the Texans team we thought we were going to see in the regular season more often than we did. And so that's what I'm looking for. Now looking at the Chargers, which part of the Chargers concerns you the most in terms of what you think is going to be something the Texans are going to have to scheme around, something that D'Amico is talking to the team like, hey, this specific thing, shut it down. Like, what is it?
I mean, it's really what we've talked about all season. It's the offensive line's ability to give CJ the time to get rid of the football. And we named I just named two guys that I think are going to try to be in the backfield a lot on Saturday, and Joey Bosa and Derwin James. You know, that the Derwin James is Swiss Army knife. He's everywhere. He can come up to the line, get in the backfield, get a sack. He can play in coverage. He does it all. Joey Bosa is a freak athlete. That guy is impossible to block, and the offensive line has had its struggles. So you worry, can they protect CJ Stroud? I also need CJ Stroud to realize that clock just needs to be a tick quicker, you know, so to give his offensive line some help. Like, don't make them block any longer than they have to. And
find your check downs. Like, you know, it doesn't always have to be hero ball.
If we can do those things, or if he can do those things, I believe that the Texans can move the football on anybody. I really think that they have enough weapons with Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon and Nico Collins and John Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson and Deontay Johnson to be able to move the football on anybody if those things happen. It's really going to be that. I really think they got to play really clean football. You really can't afford any more of these Laremy Tunsil false starts. We got back to that this last game, and they tried to blame it on Davis Mills, and I'm really just – this is just who Laremy Tunsil is. He had been so good for about a month. We need him to get back to that level.
By the way, can we talk about – so Laremy Tunsil got voted to the Pro Bowl, and there's a lot of Texans fans that are frustrated with that. To some extent, I get it, but, like, look, yeah, sure, he has false starts sometimes. Laremy Tunsil is an elite –
leads the league.
leads the league. He's an elite left tackle. And also, it's a popularity contest. What I get from that, from Nico Collins, you know, Derek Stingley, Joe Mixon, Laremy Tunsil, the Texans have some popular guys on their roster. That's what I got from the Pro Bowl voting. I wasn't putting a lot of it, but if we're putting it on play and we're looking at the players that got voted to the Pro Bowl and saying who deserves it, I'm not taking Laremy Tunsil off of that list. He is still an elite left tackle. So That's my two cents on that.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I mean, yeah, obviously he's earned that right. I think there are better left tackles out there, but without the name cachet. So until that happens, we'll see.
It's Laramie. I mean, yeah. With Trent Williams out for the NFC side, yeah. I mean, there are only so many people to choose from. In my opinion, in terms of like what this Texans team is going to face, because you already addressed, you know, offensive line being able to step up and stop things. I'm going to look at it from the defensive perspective. And when we look at the Texans, their record, I think, is deceptive as to what has happened in terms of the fact that the Texans' defense has kept them in such close games that, like, their close game record is positive. It's like, I believe, 8-5. They generally win more games than they lose when it's close. If the defense plays the way it can, then that is the case. The Ravens and the Vikings were both games where the Texans defense kind of got exposed. The Texans, I believe in the Vikings game, is more got outcoached, but in the Ravens game, the Ravens defense really exposed the Texans and put them in a position where they were out. Now, what I think that was more on the fact that they had Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You kind of pick your poison there. The Texans didn't pick the right poison, and it resulted in a less than stellar game. But going against the Chargers, You got to play the way that you got to play Texans football. You know, when D'Amico tells the new guys on the roster, you know, look at Will. That's the example. Everyone's got to look at Will. Everyone's got to see what the culture is and do what this Texans defense does. Locks teams down, gets in the backfield, wreaks havoc. And if the Texans defense can do that, then this will be a close game, regardless of how good or bad the offense does. As I've said in the past, The secondary thing to that is if it becomes a defensive game, is that CJ's just got to not turn the ball over. And the Texans offense in general has to do that. And some people go, oh, so you want CJ to be a game manager? I'm like, no, I just want him to do what most good quarterbacks would do and not turn the ball over. That is a good game for CJ, I think. So I don't know. I mean, there's a number of things that could happen. I think a lot of people were like really wanting the Texans to play the Steelers. And while I can agree to some extent that the Steelers are probably the better matchup, I don't think the Chargers are that much worse of a matchup, but I do think that they present different challenges. And I think that the Chargers, it's going to be interesting to see how this Texans team matches up, because it's a different vibe from what like we've seen going into most of the games this season. So
I really think there are some players for the Chargers that you really need to get to know, because I think, A, if the Chargers win this game or play well, it'll be because of these guys, and B, because they're Texas guys, they're coming home. J.K. Dobbins runs the ball for the Chargers. He lives in Cypress, and he's right down the street. So played at A&M, and that's a local guy. The other guy, Quentin Johnson, went to TCU. I think he's from Dallas, but he's their number one wide receiver. That's going to be Derek Stingley Jr.'s job. I tuned into the Raiders-Chargers game to kind of get a feel for what they want to do. I mean, obviously, the game, the Chargers had the lead by the time I tuned into it. It was second half. So, you know, they played it a little differently, a little bit more close to the vest. But they went up top to Quentin Johnson. They ran the ball with J.K. Dobbins. And they sprinkled Ladd McConkey in there somewhere. And that's their offense. So, they definitely have enough on their side of the football to be able to score points too.
Well, I think so. The reason the vibe is so different for me is this, right? Both the Steelers and the Chargers benefit from the same thing, in my opinion. There's a lot of talent on both of those rosters. I think there's more talent on the Chargers roster than there is on the Steelers roster. But that's what makes the difference between the two so staggering, which is that both of them benefit from Mike Tomlin and Jim Harbaugh. They benefit from excellent coaching. So, like, my concern outside of the field is that at times, like, Kevin O'Connell outcoached circles around D'Amico. That was the big issue in the Vikings game, is that Brian Flores, Kevin O'Connell, the whole Vikings coaching staff just looked at Bobby Slowick, D'Amico, Matt Burke, and said, yeah, okay, cool, and then just ran circles around them coaching wise. So a pitfall to fall into with this matchup, which was a potential thing with the Steelers too, but the Steelers have less talent. You can kind of overcome that. The Chargers are a talented roster that also has really great coaching. The difference between Brandon Staley and Jim Harbaugh is staggering, and I don't want to see a situation where it looks like D'Amico just doesn't know what he's doing, or like Bobby doesn't know what he's doing. Because there's enough talent on this Texans roster to counteract the Chargers talent. So I would say we can talk X's and O's, but like when I look at this game, the vibe's different for me because I'm looking at the coaching matchup. And I'm like, okay, D'Amico, this is your second time here. You know, you coached last year, he coached against the coach of the year, which he only won on a technicality. It really should have been D'Amico. So two top tier coaches. So it's another really good coaching matchup. And that, I don't know, how do you feel about the coaching matchup? Do you think I'm maybe making too much of it?
100%. And you're not the only person to do that. And the reason I say that is because I think it's a discredit to what the Texans have done to just all of a sudden go, well, you know, they can't coach with these guys. Now, granted, with the two dudes you just named have been doing this for 20 plus years. And for me, I think not enough is said about how young both D'Amico and Bobby Slowick are. And it's like, you're asking them to have the same experience, like to bridge that gap. And I just don't think it's fair. I mean, you're talking about guys that have coached in Super Bowls, and it's like, yes, they are elite. No question. I'm not taking anything away from them. But to say that, you know, they got, you know, it's like this big, huge coaching gap or whatever, I don't think that's fair relative to what D'Amico and Bobby have done. They've won double-digit games in the first two seasons that they've ran this team. And while, yes, we are spoiled to an extent because we just feel like they should be great from straight out of the box, and that's not how it works. If you want proof, go look at what the Lions had to endure with their head coach, Dan Campbell, before they got to this point. You know, y'all probably run D'Amico out of the building if he had the first two seasons that Dan Campbell had. That's like, look, I get it. We want them to be great today. I think that they can coach with these guys. I don't want to make this about the coaching. I want to make it about the players. I want to say that C.J. Stroud showed up and balled out. I want to say that, you know, the defense showed up and balled out. And that's why the Texans won. I don't want to sit here and go, well, they just got outcoached and that's why they lost. I hope that's not what I'm saying, or that's the conversation we're having after.
Well, here's the hoping for a C.J. Stroud masterclass. And I don't think that – it's not to put down D'Amico or Bobby, but, like, I'm just saying I'm looking at the coaching matchup like, man, I hope that we get the best from D'Amico and that it doesn't, I don't want it to appear as though, like, the way that people are talking, I don't want it to appear that way, where people are like, the Texans just made the playoffs because they're in a weak division. They don't even deserve to be here. And it's like, no, the Texans are a pretty good team. I think they deserve a spot in the playoffs. This isn't like 2016. I remember sitting and watching Brock Osweiler and lead the Texans to a win over the Raiders. And I was like, man, if Derek Carr played, we would not have won that game. I've seen the Texans like not deserve to be in the playoffs and make it because the AFC South sucks. This is not one of those years. Obviously the AFC South didn't perform to the level a lot of people thought they would, but I don't know, that's neither here nor there. Let's do our score predictions, a wild card score prediction from the bullpen. I'm excited to hear what you are thinking about this game. Chargers come to NRG, and what is the final score, Tom?
21-17 Texans.
I like it.
I think it's going to be defensive. I think it probably could have been 24-17, but I think our field goal kicker, who shall not be named, will miss a field goal. And that's a storybook as I'm going to get. He's really struggling right now. I really hope that the game is not in his hands. Kaimi's missed extra points as of late, and those you should not miss. And I'm really worried about his ability in a crunch time situation. I hope that that's not the case. In this instance, in my storybook, I guess it's not the case because they scored enough points. Defense played great. And they did just enough to stop.
It's interesting. I'll briefly give my thoughts on your comments on Kaimi. I think the plight of a kicker is epitomized in what Kaimi Fairbairn has shown us over the past three games, which is really over the past season. In that, or you look at his career, he's one of the 10 most accurate kickers of all time. Just generally speaking, has been pretty reliable and steady. Starts the season by making the most 50-plus yard field goals in a singular game. Tied with Chris Boswell, who did it the same week, which is wild. Basically steps up and plays, you know, excellent football, and then misses two extra points over three games, and everyone's calling for his job. And I'm not saying that you're calling for his job. You're saying he's struggling a little bit. And I guess I can agree to that with that to some extent. But like Kaimi Fairbairn is one of the best. I'm not like trying to call the leash that kickers have. I think Kaimi's on the more closer to the Justin Tucker side of things than like say the Rodrigo Blankenship side of things, where like you miss one field goal and you're out. Like, I don't know. But I mean, also to say that a lot of people accuse him of being a dome merchant because he does better in domed environments. And last week was at Nissan Stadium, which is not a dome. So I wouldn't project kicking struggles onto him in NRG, but that's not to say he's never had those, but we'll see. Anyways, on to my prediction. I'm going to go pretty close to you. I mean, I think it's not going to be the highest scoring game. I'll go 24-21. And I think it comes down to whoever has the ball last. I think, and I say that a lot, but I mean, these are two good teams. It's going to be, you know, two good quarterbacks that can set their teams up for success late in games. I don't know. There's not too much storybook element to it. It's just, you know, it's been back and forth. It's 21-21. The Chargers look like they're about to start a drive and then kind of stall in the middle of the field. They pin the Texans at the one, and then CJ Stroud gets them out of there, engineers a masterful drive under the two-minute warning to set up a field goal with like 5 seconds left, and then there's a chaotic kickoff. Looks a little stressful, but the Chargers get tackled with no time left, and the game's over. So there you go. There's my storybook ending. I hope it's not my last storybook ending of the season. I'm going to act like it's not because I don't want to think that it is. That was just a normal storybook ending. Nothing to it. This is the wild card round of the playoffs. Tom, any final thoughts on this game before we bring this thing to a close?
I wish it wasn't Saturday at 3. I'm really looking forward to the day that the Texans are top billing somewhere. It seems like all of my sports teams, the Astros get this, the Dynamo get this, the Rockets get this. You know, the primetime slot for them is eluded them in the playoffs, and I really hate it. You know, because like they're never gonna be a bigger story if you don't put eyes in front of them, you're never going to get that. And they almost have to go out and win a title a la the Astros to really get that. And I don't think it's fair. I mean, we're going to see lesser teams play on Sunday. And I was really pulling for the Steeler matchup for that, because I thought the Steeler matchup would guarantee two things: a primetime slot and J.J. Watt. And I was here for both of them. And we didn't get it, so.
It makes sense, but I mean, the Steelers are more blue blood, but looking at it from like the analytical perspective, two of the largest media markets in the entire nation, and you placed both of their football teams on a pretty weak time slot. Granted, there's another LA team, and I believe the Rams are playing at a better time slot. I can't confirm, but they're also playing the Vikings, who
are playing on Monday.
They're playing on Monday. Jeez. So yeah, my in-laws are Rams fans, so they'll be rooting for them. I don't have any, I like the Rams growing up, so I don't really have any problem with them. And I'd like to see them beat the Vikings. That'd be an interesting result. Speaking of that, just looking forward to next season, next season's, schedule released, and the Texans are coming out to LA twice. So you can bet that I will be at both of those games. So
that's awesome.
Look it out. Look out. But yeah, I mean, so looking at this, I don't want it to be the end of the season. I mean, I don't have a problem with the time slot. I do think that, I mean, I don't know if there's any reason. To epitomize what the Texans' plight is, you have to compare them to the Astros. When people say we want Houston for the Astros, it's like because the Astros are the villain and they've won a lot. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we can take them. Whereas, like, people were chanting, we want Houston for the Chargers, and it's like, oh, we want Houston because that would be the easier game, and that's who we would like to play so that we can guarantee we have another game to look forward to. So it's just different vibes. I look forward to the day where people are like, we want Houston, and it's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that because the Texans are stone-cold killers that will beat you because they're really good at football. Which, I mean, they're good. They're good. I'm not trying to say the Texans aren't good at football, but you get what I'm saying, right? So looking forward to it. Well, Tom, this is totally not the last bullpen recap of the season or bullpen preview of the season. There will be another recap and preview. We'll get the divisional round. It's going to happen. Speaking it out. But everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you're seeing this on Friday, then I still have the post up for this drawing with Fitted Dad. Still have the hat on. It's the same hat. But doing a giveaway on Instagram. If you like Texans hats, specifically of the fitted variety that are custom and really nice, you'll have your pick at that if you win. So you should follow me on Instagram and check that out. And yeah, thanks for tuning into the bullpen. As always, I have been James Roy. You can find me at James Roy NFL on Instagram and Twitter. Tom is at TCTom1 on Instagram and Third Coast Tom on Twitter. As always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos, Texans.
Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.